The mysterious bakery on Rue de Paris has captivated readers worldwide with its perfect blend of historical intrigue, magical realism, and heartfelt romance. This enchanting tale by Evie Woods has become a favorite among celebrities like Reese Witherspoon, who featured it in her book club for its transportive quality that makes you feel like you've stepped into a French fairy tale. The novel's exploration of how food connects us to memory has resonated deeply across cultures, with readers often reporting they can almost smell the fresh bread and pastries described in its pages. In a world increasingly dominated by digital experiences, Wood's celebration of artisanal traditions and human connection offers a timely reminder of what truly nourishes both body and soul. Edith Lane's journey begins with a classic case of misplaced expectations. Having answered an advertisement for a bakery job in Paris, her dream city since childhood, she finds herself instead in the small town of Compiègne, 90 kilometers north of the capital. Her new reality consists of a cramped attic apartment with slanted ceilings and creaking floorboards, and the decidedly frosty demeanor of her new employer, Madame Moreau. This disappointment mirrors the greater disillusionment in Edith's life. Having put her artistic dreams on hold for 6 years to care for her mother through a prolonged illness, she's now adrift at 32, seeking purpose and identity in a foreign country that seems determined to remind her of her outsider status. What makes Edith's story so compelling is how relatable her situation feels to anyone who has ever faced life's unexpected detours. Haven't we all experienced that moment of panic when our carefully laid plans collapse? When Edith finds herself crying in a train station bathroom, surrounded by mismatched luggage and clutching a wrinkled map, it's a moment of raw vulnerability that sets the stage for her transformation. "So I won't be living a glamorous life in Paris," she tells herself, wiping away tears with her sleeve. "But this Compiègne place can't be that far, and who knows, maybe it's the most picturesque part of France." This capacity to find hope in disappointment becomes Edith's defining characteristic. Despite her inadequate French, limited to bonjour and merci, the mysterious rules of the bakery, particularly the strict prohibition against entering the basement, and Madame Moreau's initial coldness, Edith perseveres. She begins recording observations in her leather-bound notebook, including entries like "Grumpy Baker, Do Not Disturb Before 6 a.m. and "Customers Prefer Pointing to Speaking English," revealing her determination to understand this new world she's entered. Each small victory, successfully completing a transaction, learning a new French phrase, or mastering the ancient cash register, becomes a stepping stone toward belonging. The bakery itself becomes a character in this narrative, with its peacock blue and gold floor tiles, an ornate Art Nouveau mirror that's slightly tarnished at the edges, and the tantalizing aromas of fresh bread and butter wafting up the narrow stairs each morning. The century-old building holds secrets in its walls, from the mysterious deliveries that arrive at midnight to the muffled conversations Edith hears through the heating vent. It's a place of both commerce and mystery, drawing Edith deeper into its secrets with each passing day. As she struggles through her first interactions with customers, pointing at items rather than attempting conversation, we witness the beginning of her integration into this community. The regular customers, from the elderly professor who orders the same rye bread every Tuesday, to the young mother with twins who comes for chocolate croissants, slowly become familiar faces in her new life, a life that will ultimately transform her in ways she never imagined. At the heart of this novel lies a profound exploration of how the past continues to shape our present. For Edith, it's the grief of losing her mother to cystic fibrosis and the sense that she sacrificed her own dreams to care for others. For Madame Moreau, it's the literal ghost of her adoptive father Pierre, whose spirit continues to bake bread in the basement each night. For Hugo, it's the death of his brother Stefan and the family legacy of betrayal during World War II. The novel brilliantly uses the supernatural element of Pierre Moreau's ghost as both plot device and metaphor. When Edith first glimpses the spectral baker through a floor grate, she's understandably terrified. Yet, as she learns more about the bakery's history, she comes to understand that some ghosts aren't meant to frighten us, but to guide us. Pierre's continued presence represents both the unfinished business of the past and the enduring power of love and tradition. What makes this ghost story particularly poignant is how it connects to historical trauma. The revelation that Pierre Moreau saved Madame Moreau, then young Genevieve, and her mother Mirella from Nazi persecution gives the supernatural element a profound emotional weight. When Edith learns that Pierre embraced these strangers as family when German soldiers approached them at the train station, we understand that some acts of courage echo through generations. The novel doesn't shy away from depicting the horrors of the Holocaust, particularly its impact on the Roma people, a perspective often overlooked in historical fiction. Through Madame Moreau's memories, we experience the terror of occupation, the heartbreak of separation, and the small acts of resistance that allowed some to survive. Pierre's decision to hide Mirella and Genevieve in his bakery wasn't just kindness. It was an act of defiance against a regime intent on erasing entire populations. This historical backdrop gives depth to the contemporary story, reminding us that places hold memories and that the choices we make can reverberate long after we're gone. When Hugo discovers that his great-great-uncle betrayed Madame Moreau's family to the Nazis, his decision to make amends becomes not just a romantic gesture toward Edith, but a healing of historical wounds. Just one bite of a croissant might bring luck, unlock a precious memory, or reveal hidden longings. This early description of the bakery's offerings establishes one of the novel's central themes: food's power to transcend ordinary experience and connect us to our deepest selves. The novel draws clear inspiration from Marcel Proust's famous Madeleine moment in Search of Lost Time, where a simple cookie dipped in tea unleashes a flood of childhood memories. Woods cleverly has Hugo gift Edith this very book, creating a literary framework for understanding the bakery's magic. When Edith discovers Pierre's recipe book hidden beneath a floorboard and makes his hot chocolate to warm the soul, she experiences her own Proustian moment. The resulting drink was transformative, rich and velvety, unlocking forgotten memories of Christmas with my mother. This isn't mere nostalgia, but a profound exploration of how sensory experiences can heal emotional wounds. For Pierre, baking became a way to channel his unrequited love for Jean-Yves into something that could nourish others. For Madame Moreau, continuing her adoptive father's recipes maintains her connection to him and honors the sacrifice he made to save her. For Edith, learning to bake becomes a way to reconnect with her own creativity and the memories of cooking with her father. The secret ingredient, vanilla beans from Madagascar, serves as the perfect metaphor for this transformative power. Rare and precious, these beans represent the extraordinary moments that change our lives, the unexpected encounters that alter our paths. When Pierre first tastes them, he experiences a profound sensory awakening that reveals his true feelings. Similarly, when Hugo drinks Edith's hot chocolate made with the vanilla liqueur, it helps him remember a time when life was about more than business. In our modern world of mass production and convenience foods, the novel celebrates the artisanal and the handcrafted. The struggle to save the bakery from corporate development becomes a fight to preserve not just a business, but a way of life. One where food is made with care and connection, where recipes are passed down through generations, and where the act of sharing a meal creates community. Edith's journey to self-discovery is paralleled by her literal discovery of her singing voice. Having once dreamed of being a singer but abandoned this passion for practical concerns, she finds herself reluctantly performing at the bakery's jazz night. What begins as mortification transforms into revelation. When she stopped pressuring herself to be someone else, she found her authentic voice. This moment represents the novel's core message about authenticity. Throughout the story, characters struggle with the tension between who they are and who they feel they should be. Hugo works in his family's property development business despite his passion for photography. Madame Moreau maintains a stern exterior that masks her deep capacity for love. Edith herself has been living a half-life, defined more by her responsibilities to others than by her own desires. The novel suggests that finding our authentic selves often requires stepping into discomfort and vulnerability. When Nicole gives Edith a new haircut, a layered bob rather than the Gaiman style she initially requested, Edith feels transformed and French. This external change reflects her internal evolution, her willingness to become someone new while still honoring who she truly is. Language itself becomes a metaphor for this journey toward authenticity. Edith's struggles with French mirror her larger struggle to express herself in the world. Initially pointing at pastries rather than attempting conversation, she gradually gains confidence through immersion. By the end of the novel, she has found her voice both literally and figuratively, able to sing in front of an audience and to stand up for what she believes in. What makes this theme particularly compelling is how it connects to the historical narrative. Pierre Moreau's decision to live authentically as a gay man in 1940s France carried significant risk, yet his honesty with Mirella created the foundation for their unconventional family. The novel suggests that authenticity isn't just personal fulfillment, it's the basis for genuine connection with others. Great things start with small beginnings. This thought, which Edith has while trying to make her cramped attic apartment feel like home, arranging her mother's old teacups on a makeshift shelf, placing a geranium on the windowsill, encapsulates one of the novel's most powerful messages. The courage to begin again is the foundation of transformation. These small acts of creating home in a foreign place become symbolic of the larger journey of renewal that threads through the narrative. Each character in the novel faces the challenge of starting over, their stories interweaving to create a tapestry of resilience. Edith has left behind her life in Dublin following her mother's death, carrying only a worn leather suitcase and her culinary training. Hugo must reimagine his future outside his family's business, breaking generations of expectations to pursue his passion for baking. Madame Moreau, as a child, had to create a new identity after losing her mother to the concentration camps, a trauma that shaped her into the stern but ultimately nurturing figure she becomes. Even Manu, the teenage delivery boy who starts by simply running errands, represents the next generation that will carry the bakery's legacy forward, his growing interest in pastry making suggesting the cyclical nature of renewal. What makes these new beginnings possible is the character's willingness to risk vulnerability, each small act of courage building upon the last. When Edith accepts Nicole's invitation to the jazz club, stepping out of her comfort zone into the vibrant nightlife of Compiègne, she opens herself to friendship. When Hugo confesses his family's historical connection to the Moreaus, a revelation that could have destroyed everything, he chooses truth over safety. When Madame Moreau finally shares her wartime experiences over cups of chamomile tea in the bakery's back room, these moments of openness create the possibility for connection and change. The novel doesn't shy away from acknowledging how difficult new beginnings can be. Edith's early days in Compiègne are marked by loneliness, language barriers, struggling with basic French phrases at the market, and cultural confusion over everything from greeting customs to business hours. Yet these challenges ultimately make her transformation more meaningful. The small victories, mastering her first perfect croissant, receiving her first regular customer, earning Madame Moreau's rare smile, build toward larger triumphs. By the epilogue, when the bakery is described as once again a place of nourishment, belonging, and a certain je ne sais quoi, we understand that this renewal came at the cost of confronting painful truths and letting go of old patterns. Perhaps most movingly, the novel suggests that new beginnings are possible even after death. Pierre Moreau's ghost remains in the bakery until his legacy is secured, manifesting in subtle ways. The scent of his signature orange brioche, the mysterious rearrangement of baking sheets, and the whispered encouragement Edith swears she hears during difficult moments. His promise to always be there is fulfilled not through eternal haunting, but through ensuring the bakery's continuation in capable hands. when his spirit finally departs with an unusually bright golden glow, leaving behind the faintest trace of orange zest in the air, it represents the completion of his earthly business and the beginning of whatever comes next, suggesting that even the afterlife holds possibilities for new chapters. At its heart, this novel is a love story, not just between Edith and Hugo, but between Pierre and his bakery, between Madame Moreau and her adoptive father, between all the characters and their true callings. Love, in its many forms, becomes the catalyst for change and growth. The romance between Edith and Hugo follows the classic pattern of attraction, conflict, and resolution, but with meaningful twists that elevate it beyond formula. Their initial connection at the jazz club, where they dance and kiss beneath the stars, establishes their chemistry. Yet their relationship gains depth through conflict, particularly when Edith discovers Hugo works for the company trying to buy the bakery. What makes their romance compelling is how it challenges both characters to become better versions of themselves. Hugo must confront his family's historical wrongdoing and his own complicity in a business that prioritizes profit over people. Edith must overcome her fear of vulnerability and her tendency to put her own dreams last. Their relationship succeeds not because they're perfect for each other from the start, but because they inspire each other to change. Beyond romantic love, the novel explores familial love in its many forms. Pierre and Genevieve's father-daughter relationship, formed in the crucible of war, demonstrates how family can be chosen rather than inherited. Madame Moreau's devotion to Manu after her daughter's death shows the healing power of intergenerational bonds. Even Edith's relationship with her parents, particularly her decision to remain close while her mother was ill, illustrates both the beauty and the potential limitation of familial devotion. Perhaps most profoundly, the novel celebrates love for one's vocation. Pierre's decision to pour his heart into his baking instead of pursuing love transforms his work into an expression of his deepest self. Similarly, when Hugo sells his luxury apartment to pursue photography and social entrepreneurship, or when Edith rediscovers her passion for singing, they're choosing to love what they do rather than simply do what's expected. The bakery itself becomes a symbol of love's endurance, a place where Pierre's devotion continues to manifest long after his death, where recipes passed down through generations carry the emotions of those who created them, where the simple act of sharing bread becomes a form of communion. While individual transformation drives much of the novel, it's the power of community that ultimately saves the bakery and heals the characters. From Nicole and Johnny organizing protests, to Jeff including the bakery on his tours, to Monsieur Legrand offering financial advice, the residents of Compiègne rally around Madame Moreau when her livelihood is threatened. This emphasis on collective action provides a counterpoint to the novel's more individualistic themes of self-discovery. Edith may have come to France to find herself, but what she discovers is that identity is formed in relationship to others. Her integration into the town's social fabric, becoming friends with Nicole, learning from Madame Moreau, connecting with Manu, gives her the sense of belonging she's been seeking. The bakery itself functions as a community hub, a place where different social worlds intersect. When Johnny's band plays Django Reinhardt tributes in the cramped space, creating a magical atmosphere with candlelit jam jars, we see how shared cultural experiences can unite diverse individuals. Similarly, Hugo's decision to transform the adjacent building into a social enterprise restaurant that will provide job training while offering affordable meals extends this community-building function. What makes this theme particularly powerful is its historical dimension. The novel suggests that community has always been a form of resistance against oppression. During the Nazi occupation, Pierre's decision to hide Mirella and Genevieve was an act of community solidarity that defied the regime's attempt to divide people. In the present day, the protest to Sauver Notre Boulangerie similarly resists corporate homogenization that would erase local character and history. The novel's resolution, with Hugo naming his restaurant Chez Stefan in honor of his brother, With Manu preparing to carry on the bakery's legacy, with Edith finding her place in this adopted community, suggests that healing happens not in isolation, but in connection. As Hugo's mother, Seraphine, tells Edith, she was the pebble that created ripples in Hugo's tranquil pond, a metaphor that applies equally to how each character's actions affect the larger community. As I said before, I underestimated you, Edith. With these words near the novel's conclusion, Madame Moreau acknowledges not just Edith's resourcefulness in saving the bakery, but her worthiness to inherit its traditions. Throughout the novel, the question of inheritance, what we receive from the past and what we pass on to the future, forms a central concern. The physical inheritance of the bakery itself drives much of the plot, with Madame Moreau facing financial pressure to sell the historic building to developers. Yet more significant are the intangible inheritances. Pierre's baking techniques that Manu learns by mimicking his ghost's movements, the recipe book that Edith discovers beneath the floorboards, the stories of wartime courage that shape the present generation's understanding of themselves. When Madame Moreau touches Pierre's recipe book like a priceless artifact, we understand that its value lies not just in the formulas for bread and pastries, but in the connection it provides to her adoptive father. Similarly, when Hugo learns of his family's historical betrayal of the Moreaus, he inherits a moral debt that he chooses to repay by saving the bakery. The novel suggests that inheritance involves both receiving and choosing. We cannot control what history bequeaths us, but we can decide how to respond to that legacy. This theme resonates particularly strongly in the historical sections depicting the Nazi occupation, where characters must decide whether to perpetuate systems of oppression or resist them. By the novel's end, a new inheritance is being created. Hugo's restaurant will carry his brother's name forward, honoring Stefan's memory while creating something new. Manu will continue the bakery's traditions while adapting them for contemporary tastes. Edith will bring her own creative contributions to this community, perhaps through singing as well as baking. This cycle of receiving and passing on creates continuity across generations, suggesting that while individuals may die, their influence continues through those who remember them. As Pierre once showed Madame Moreau, a grain of wheat holds the potential to become many things, just as the past contains the seeds of multiple possible futures. I realize I hadn't found the right bakery in Paris. The bakery on Rue de Paris had found me. With this final insight, Edith acknowledges the novel's most profound theme, that belonging is not something we find, but something that finds us when we open ourselves to its possibility. Throughout the story, characters struggle with questions of where and how they belong. Edith, having left Dublin, must create a new home in a foreign country. Hugo feels out of place in his family's business, drawn instead to photography and social entrepreneurship. Madame Moreau, as a child of Roma heritage adopted by a French baker, navigates multiple cultural identities. Even Pierre's ghost remains in the bakery because he still feels he belongs there, unable to move on until his legacy is secured. What the novel suggests is that belonging isn't primarily about location, but about connection, to people, to purpose, to one's authentic self. When Edith begins baking cupcakes in the basement, playing jazz and finding her rhythm, she creates a sense of belonging through meaningful work. When Hugo sells his luxury apartment to invest in the community of Compiègne, he chooses belonging over status and wealth. Perhaps most powerfully, the novel explores how belonging transcends time. The bakery becomes a place where past and present coexist, where Pierre's techniques are still practiced, where his recipes still bring joy, where his promise to always be there manifests through the continuation of his work. This temporal dimension of belonging suggests that we are connected not just to those around us, to those who came before, and those who will come after. By the epilogue, when the bakery is described as, once again, a place of nourishment, belonging, and a certain je ne sais quoi, we understand that the mysterious element, the je ne sais quoi, is precisely this sense of connection across time and space. The magic ingredient was never just the vanilla beans, but the enduring power of love that infuses everything made with care and intention. In a world increasingly characterized by displacement and disconnection, this message about the possibility of finding belonging in unexpected places offers profound comfort. Like Edith, we may discover that the place where we truly belong isn't where we originally intended to go, but where our journey unexpectedly leads us.